Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. I'm an employment law and business law attorney, and I host this live weekly talk radio show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's a live radio show with a video broadcast component right here on talkradio.nyc. And on my show, I have guests very often, most weeks, wherein we talk about some of the most interesting and novel and cutting edge issues of the day related to employment, employment law, employee relations, business, and other challenges that you as a business owner or a small to mid-sized entrepreneur or startup might be facing. And so this week, in the spirit of having guests with interesting topics, I'm pleased to announce a very special guest. I've known him my whole entire life since infancy, all through law school and all through practice. And that guest is myself. Little tongue-in-cheek humor there. And today, folks, I decided to give an update on the various employment law issues that many companies are facing. Because really, employment law is constantly changing. And right now, and with the pandemic, there are so many new rules and regulations to follow that it's really important to have an idea of knowing what these rules are and what you need to do to stay afloat and stay abreast of the recent changes in law. So I'll briefly give a little intro to myself as I do each show, but I'll say that I started practicing law in the late fall of 1998 into early 1999, worked at a couple of small law firms in employment law and civil rights litigation and appeals, and then started my law practice, the law offices of Eric M. Sauber, in April 2001. I can't believe next month will be 21 years, but it is. And so I represent small to mid-sized companies, as I mentioned, business owners in all matters of employment law, business law, labor law. So with that intro and that opening, let's share the screen here. I have a PowerPoint that I'd like to share with those of you that can see the show tonight. Let me just do that right now. All right. We are right there. Yes. And putting my tech skills to the test here. Okay. So in prior presentations on this topic, I went into a long description of the status of the federal vaccine mandates in terms of what the Biden administration had put forth last November 2021, and the winding road that it took through the courts, the federal courts, and eventually the Supreme Court, where ultimately was stopped. And so that being said, notwithstanding certain changes to the federal vaccine mandate, to its status, companies can still have a private vaccine mandate in place. In fact, in New York City, as I'll cover later today, there's a mandate in place put forth by the last mayor, by Mayor de Blasio, which required business owners to have that any workers who are on site or employees on site at a workplace needed to be vaccinated. And that's in flux right now. Let's see what happens under the current mayor. But nonetheless, if you're a private company, you've got a vaccine mandate in place, you have employees claiming exemptions. Maybe they want to get out of this because of their religion or disability they have or some other protected class status. So what do you do? What does the law say you have to do? What does the law say you do not have to do? So let's talk about this issue in the context of exemptions from mandates in the form of reasonable accommodation requests. All right. So with that in place, let me just go to the next slide here. I think just for some backdrop, it's important for you to know that if you're an employer, you have an ongoing duty to provide your employees with accommodations, certain changes to their employment based on issues such as their pregnancy status, religion, or disability. Obviously, pregnancy does not apply to your male employees, although they could be taking paternity leave, which could be a family status issue. But basically, if they're pregnant or about to be pregnant, if they're religious or have a certain religious status or disability, including disabilities related to COVID-19, you have an ongoing duty to provide them with certain accommodations. Unless their accommodation request poses an undue hardship to your company, whether that means it's too hard for you financially, it's going to break the bank to give the employee the accommodation that they want in terms of their employment conditions, or their accommodation requests might be impossible to operationally. So to give it more concrete examples, an employee comes to you and says, boss, I can't get the COVID-19 vaccine and I want an accommodation to be on paid leave or unpaid leave indefinitely, until this COVID thing blows over. Well, that could be 5-10 years from now. And if you are a company with 3 employees, you've just lost a 30-year workforce. So that'd be an example of an accommodation request made where you can say, I'm sorry, Joe, sorry, Joanne, but I have to deny that request because it's an undue hardship. It's going to be too hard to run my business or too expensive to pay for your paid leave. So that's just an example. But the point you might get is that you have to evaluate an employee's request for an accommodation, and that may be a change in schedule, a change in location, change in duties, and look at it through the lens of, like in the case of disability, does this disability request, accommodation request rather, pose a direct threat that can't be mitigated, or is it going to just cost your company too much? So we can look at some examples of this in terms of what do I mean when I talk about this phrase, reasonable accommodations, right? It rolls off my tongue practicing employment law for 23 years, but think of it this way. Have you, as a business owner, ever had an employee come to you, even pre-COVID, because this chart that you're seeing right now applies to the current situation with COVID-19, but also occurs and relates to accommodation requests in general. If, let's say, an employee comes to you in the context of the COVID-19 illness or being unable to get the vaccine, maybe because of their disability, maybe because of their religious objection, and they say, here's an accommodation I'm wanting. I want to work remotely, only remotely. Or I need you to modify my work duties because I want to be siloed away from other workers so I don't risk catching COVID-19 or spreading it if I have it. Another example of a reasonable accommodation request that an employee might make to you would be to change your schedule, right? To perhaps provide certain additional protective equipment. Maybe they want you to provide KN95 top quality masks in the office and face shields and gloves and hand sanitizer, depending upon the type of work that they do. And undue hardship, as I mentioned, means a significant difficulty. I think there's going to be grounds for you to deny the accommodation request. And when you have an undue hardship request and you evaluate it, the EEOC, which is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, has set forth certain guidelines. Let's see if I can see them because my screen, there we go, is, okay, got it. Certain relevant factors you have to look at, which I mentioned a moment ago about the nature and cost of those accommodation requests you can see on the left side of the screen here. What's the financial resources that you as a facility have? You know, if you're Walmart or Walgreens, I think Walgreens Pharmacy may need to give their pharmacists certain time off because they can't get the COVID vaccine. They're afraid of catching the disease. That, again, if you're a mom and pop pharmacist with 2 workers, maybe you don't have to do that. So look at the size of the organization that you have. Are you a small business? Are you a medium size? Do you have 5 employees? Do you have 500 employees? Look at the effect as well of these accommodation requests in this quarter here. Look at how it affects your resources and the expenses you have to put forth and the overall financial resource of your entity. And so these are accommodation requests under the Americans with Disabilities Act, which was amended in 2008. That's not a typo, the ADAAA, 2008. And these are also guidelines under what's called a federal statute, federal law, called Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And that has to do with granting accommodations based on religious requests, religious accommodations. So these are just some items to keep in mind here. And going, for example, to the next slide, actually, I'm going to skip this one because I think I covered that point a moment ago. If an employee, let's say, cannot be accommodated, I'll go to the second part of the slide here, you can basically use certain guidance from the EEO or from the EEOC before you take a certain adverse employment action, right? And it's very important to consult with an employment law attorney before you deny or grant a reasonable accommodation request to your employees. Very important to make sure that you are within the legal bounds under the federal law and under the state law. If you're in New York State, you've got the New York State Human Rights Law that applies. If you're also in New York City, if you're a company or restaurant, in Manhattan somewhere, you've got the New York City Human Rights Law that sets certain guidelines of what you have to follow as a company, to where maybe you have to grant an accommodation request or maybe you have to deny it. And going to a next topic here, we talk about New York State mandates regarding vaccines and masks. Interesting here that we've had some changes around mask mandates. Many of you may have seen the bottom half of people's faces lately if you're walking around New York City or New York State. And what's important to note from, if you go to the history of the mask mandates to see where we might end up, if there's another variant or uptake, and I hope to God that's not the case, but if there is, that New York first initiated its, a little history is important here, folks, and New York initiated its vaccination and mask mandate requirements for state employees against the coronavirus back in October 2021, and then brought in the mask mandates to say that masks had to be worn in all state facilities located in places with local mask mandates or in areas with high transitions rates, admission rates of COVID-19. And that was kind of the backdrop for a lot of other rules around public safety, state and private employees with the mask mandate. And it's relevant to where we stand today, where we might end up. But the New York State mask mandate, Governor Kathy Hochul implemented this in December, requiring that all private office settings would have to have guidance that applies that if that office did not require proof of vaccination as a condition of entry, then everyone must wear masks at all times, regardless of whether you are vaccinated. So it doesn't matter if you're a customer, client, or employee visiting an office, say in New York State, in let's say Albany or Smithtown, and you say, but I have my vaccination card right here, I'm vaccinated, I don't need to wear a mask. The guidance was, did the place you were in require a mask? And if it did require a vaccination status to get in, then you did not need to wear a mask. But if it did not, you had to wear a mask at all times, except when eating, drinking, or alone in an enclosed room. And this, of course, applies still to New York State-based healthcare workers who are also now required to be vaccinated. So if you are a company, let's say, that subcontracts with, say, a healthcare facility, whether it's a rehab or a hospital or doctor's office, you may be required to still be vaccinated in order to enter those healthcare facilities. And there are no religious exemptions to that. So home health agencies, nursing homes, physical therapy offices, take note of some of these rules here. And I want to just check my time, because when I have a guest on the show, I'm watching the chat box from the station. I see we have about a minute or so until the break. It gives me a chance to wrap up this slide here and just see when the topic has a nice breaking point. I think it's coming up shortly. What I'd say is to keep in mind that these mask mandates are changing, and they go usually hand in hand with what the CDC recommends and the transition rates. And perhaps some more cynical folks might say has to do with politics too, and maybe that's not so cynical, maybe it's a reality as well. But the important thing to note here is that accommodation requests and mask mandates and vaccine mandates are all very much still relevant in today's day. Even if it feels as if this pandemic is almost over, there's still a lot to know. So when we come back, I'm going to share with you all more information. We'll talk about New York City and what the private company vaccine mandates are. We'll talk about what you need to do as an employer with your employees. So stick around to Employment Law Today. I'm your host and your guest tonight, Eric Sauber, and right here on talkradio.nyc. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sommer, and I'm an employment law and business law attorney representing management, companies, employers, small to mid-size, across all industries. And here tonight on my show, Employment Law Today, tonight I'm taking a break from the usual format of having guests on discuss certain topics. And I'm just going to talk directly to you, my audience, one-to-one, about some of the changes in the employment and employee landscape, employment law landscape, and how to navigate them. And so, in that regard, no presentation would be complete without a trusty PowerPoint. So let me share that with you all right now. I'm going to share the screen here, and just like this. Okay. Yes, here we are. Let's go here for the current slideshow. So now I want to talk to you all about the New York City vaccine mandates. And this mandate, if you all remember from December, this was a very big issue. This was when Mayor Bill de Blasio, I should say, former Mayor Bill de Blasio's signature executive orders that he put into effect. And this is a little bit different from the federal vaccine mandate that was being presented to us all back in the late fall of 2021. The New York City vaccine mandate has really to do with the idea of that entrance to and being on the premises of a workplace. Could be an office, could be a plant, factory, a store, a restaurant, what have you. But the point is that if you were coming into an office, it was meant to avoid the spread or to halt the spread of COVID-19, you had to be vaccinated. So you as a company could have decided to make your workforce fully remote. If you did that, you were not subject to this mandate. There are some in-between situations with hybrid offices and people that come onto the office only part of the time. So why don't we get into all that good stuff right now? All right, folks. So December 6th, a little background, always, I think, important for any rule. Go back in time about 3 months, early December 2021. Bill de Blasio announced the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for all New York City private sector employees. It was the first major one of its kind of mandate of this type for any major U.S. city. And also was issued formally on December 15th. And it included the effective date of December 27, 2021. That was the date which employees in New York City in person were working or interacting with the public had to show proof that they received at a minimum the first dose of the primary series, right, of basically a Pfizer or Moderna shot, or a single dose of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. And then employees had 45 days to show proof of their second dose of the vaccine from Pfizer or Moderna. So it wasn't covering booster shots yet. I think that, you know, the government, the cities knew that they would have their sort of objections to this rule and thought, let's just focus on the vaccination status. So they passed this mandate, It was expected to be upheld because the city and the state, unlike the federal government, have much broader policing powers over issues of public health and safety and public well-being and helping to avoid the spread of diseases. So in that regard, it was really expected to pass muster and remains in effect. And the terms of the New York City mandate, keep in mind, is that employers, right, you cannot allow unvaccinated, as I mentioned, folks, employees to report to the physical workplace. There is an exception to this, and it goes back to what I talked about before the break, reasonable accommodation requests, right? This is where people get so confused. They say, wait a second, I thought you said that if they were, the employees were coming into the workplace and they were in person, or dealing with the public regularly on behalf of your company, that they had to have a vaccination status and have to get the shot. But the exception, in order to avoid discrimination lawsuits from disabled workers, right, who maybe can't get the vaccine because of a rare disability or condition that might make the vaccine dangerous to them, maybe they can't get it because they had a blood disorder or leukemia, the type of illness they had makes the vaccine unable to actually form antibodies for them, so it's useless. So in those situations, someone can ask for an accommodation request. And if we go back to the prior slide, if that request is not going to harm your business from an economic standpoint, so for example, hey boss, I see this New York City mandate, I can't get a vaccine because of this disability or this religious accommodation, then they can be accommodated. Maybe they have to work remotely. Maybe they get to come in, but have to work in a siloed office, away from more than 6 feet from everybody else, wearing protective gear at all times. But this law also applied to all kinds of employers, including sole proprietors, right? If you're self-employed, like you work at a workplace, if you are one person CPA or one man or one woman attorney or office, if you're not working from your home and you go into a public office space or co-working space, guess what? You have to get that vaccine for yourself, right? Because you are an employer of one. You employ yourself. So Stephen applies to sole proprietors. It's an interesting law. Rarely do you see that happen where you can be your only employee and stuff to follow certain mandates, but this is what the mandate requires. So it applies to people also interact with the public, right? So if we have a tech consultant, like say, who goes out to offices to perform certain work, or you run a professional organizers company where your people work from home, but they get a call and they go out to your clients and they clean their offices and homes, they need to be vaccinated. So that's a covered employer. It's any employer, one or more employees, and one employee can include you, yourself. A covered worker is any individual who works in person, as I mentioned, in New York City at a workplace. Doesn't count those I mentioned who work remotely, so keep that in mind. If you're a work from home person and your employer is located in New York City, doesn't matter if you're in the heart of the Big Apple, if you're not seeing the public, or you're entering the workplace for a quick and limited purpose, like maybe you come in, you fix something and you run out, or you deliver items, you're a courier service, and then you just have them sign and then you leave, you're exempted from this New York City mandate, this vaccine mandate requirement. Same exemption for performing arts and athletes, right? It's people coming into New York City and those that work for them, but not required to get the vaccine to enter a physical workplace under the New York City vaccine mandate rule. And there are details around, you know, what you as an employer have to do, right? In other words, what are your responsibilities? Is it just to tell my workers, hey employees, you have to get vaccinated? Well, it's a little bit more than that, more to it than that. So I recommend talking to an employment lawyer such as myself or your HR professionals, those that help you with your company, whether it's ADP or small outsourced HR consultant or any other kind of group, because you as a business owner, as a business, you're responsible for checking your employees' vaccination status and collecting proof of vaccination and then maintaining records for those employees, right? You have less stringent record requirements for your independent contractors, but you gotta take a copy and a picture of their ID or keep a picture of their workers' proof of vaccination and keep it on file. And this is even if you know the worker's vaccinated. Like if you went together on a Saturday morning with one of your workers to get the vaccine, or you saw them at the site getting the shot in their arm, hypothetically speaking, or you hired your brother-in-law. You know that your brother-in-law, you know, is definitely vaccinated because he's a firm believer in vaccines. You still have to have proof of his or her or their vaccination status. So there are other grounds for an employee to request a reasonable accommodation. And I just had an interesting thing on my screen there, and there it is. And that could be if an employee is, let's say, unable to work, and I'm gonna try and find it, here we go. It could be, sorry folks, my screen's hypersensitive. There we go. If an employee can't take the vaccine due to pregnancy, childbirth, lactation, religious observance, and the law requires an exemption if they're a victim of domestic violence, stalking, or sex offense. I'm not sure how that relates to a COVID-19 vaccine, but if an employee said, I can't get the vaccine because I'm a victim of domestic violence, I would take that accommodation request seriously and then analyze it through the lens of, is the request going to cause hardship for my company? If the request is to work from home, you know, can they do it? Not every employee can work from home. An accommodation request from a bookkeeper that says, hey, boss, I can't get the vaccine. I can't come into the New York City branch or office. Oh, can I bookkeep from home? Might be easy enough. You have spreadsheets, Google Docs, email, phone calls. But if you're a restaurant owner and your employee is the executive chef, well, you know, try cooking meals remotely, right? Try overseeing the other chefs in the kitchen or talking to the customers, serving them food, the patrons, without making contact with people. So you might not be able to give that person an accommodation request. But keep in mind that this vaccine mandate for New York City does have exceptions based on these statuses that I put up here on the screen. And then moving, of course, right along, the whole idea about the types of accommodation requests that you can grant. All right, so let's break this down here. You're an employer and you're in New York City, and you have employees, and that means that you have to require that if they're coming into the office, then they have to be vaccinated, right? And you get an accommodation request. Someone can't get the vaccine. That's the second step, step two. And then the step three is they say, I can't get the vaccine. I don't want to lose my job, and I'm protected, right? It's not just like, I don't want to get vaccines, because I read about a musician's cousin's friend who had some terrible consequence. It can't be, you know, I read the news and I want to get ivermectin instead. Has to be based on a disability, religious exemption, pregnancy, child lactation, feeding of a child, etc. So there are those. But let's say an employee does ask for an accommodation. What do you have to grant? So here's what we can wrap up before the commercial break. We've got masking or weekly PCR testing, right? If you've got an employee and they want this accommodation request in place, fine, but you can require that they mask at the office and that they weekly PCR test and maintain 6 feet of distance from others when they're eating or drinking. You can also consider telework, remote work, if that might protect an accommodated worker and protect others. You can give someone a leave of absence, paid or unpaid. You can say there's no accommodation because there's no way around it. The worker has to be in the office or the school or the childcare place where they work. And if it's childcare and they have 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-olds, you can't get vaccinated, it's too risky. So you might say, sorry, no, it's gonna cause a hardship. It'll create a danger. And remember from earlier slides, that means that you as an employer, in most situations, can say no accommodation of the kind is given. Unless they can mask and give weekly or bi-weekly testing. And if employees don't comply, right, they can be denied entry to the workplace. The rules leave it to the employer's discretion to allow remote work or to terminate and suspend an employee. So there's a lot at stake, folks. You know, I'm just trying to get you all to know the issue. I don't expect you to memorize all this and digest it all once. You know, I do this stuff every day. But keep in mind, you hear accommodation requests, go, oh, this is the real thing. This is the real employment law issue. So maybe I should call that employment law. I was talking about it. So we are at our second commercial break. When we come back, I'll talk more about some of the COVID-19 protocols around health and safety in the workplace, what you as an employer need to know. Don't go away. We're just getting started here on Talk Radio NYC. I'll be right back.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. Again, I'm your host, Eric Sauver. And as I mentioned each week, I'm an employment law and business law attorney. I practice employment law, labor law, business law by trade. And I represent small to mid-sized business owners. And I represent companies, employers, could be in technology or it could be in hospitality, professional services, stores, retail, construction, and I represent them in matters of employment law and business law. And so talking tonight with you, I'm doing a little, for those joining us late and wondering where Eric's guests go, well, tonight I'm doing a one-to-one with my audience on navigating the changing employment law landscape, because there's so much to cover. And I thought it's about time we had an employment law attorney on to cover these issues. And then I realized, hey, I'm an employment law attorney, so I should talk to you directly. So let me share my screen again with all of you. I think with my PowerPoint here. Let's just see. Okay. There it is. All right. And I seem to have, yes, here we go. So if we go to the next slide, talking about an issue that's probably on everyone's mind these days. Whether you're an employer or an employee, whether you're a consultant, contractor, or working for a large company or a small company, this idea of returning to work, right? It's been in the news lately. All the people who were laid off, furloughed, or say working from home exclusively, a lot of businesses now are switching to either a hybrid model, you work partly from home, you work part of the week from the office. Or switching to a work from home model. Hey, we've been working remotely since March of 2020. It seems to be working. So let's pull the plug and save money on office space and on computers and telephones and just have everyone work from their respective homes. Or maybe you're saying, you know what? We're missing the collaborative effort and missing collaboration and creativity and connection. We've got employees who never met their employers. This is not right. And we need everyone to get back to the office or back to the landscaping company or whatever have you, but it's time to get back to work. So if you're returning to work, your workers are coming back to the office or to the workplace, you have to think about a number of issues here, right? And some of these I talked a little bit about tonight, but let's talk about employees who might give evidence that they can safely return to work to the workplace, right? Here's a question I've got from many of my clients. Call me up, say, hey, Eric, it's so-and-so from ABC company. We had some employees that were sick, three of them had COVID-19, they were home. And I'm getting fewer of these questions now. Many people are vaccinated and boosted, but still getting questions at times. Like, say somebody had COVID-19. Can I ask them for evidence that they can safely return to the workplace and they're not contagious, right? And the answer is yes, you can make that request, right? You, as an employer, you're allowed to mandate certain safety precautions. You can require vaccines even if you're not in New York City. You can put in mask mandates even if New York State says you don't have to anymore, right? You as a private entity can do these things. If an employee can't comply with certain safety precautions due to their disability or pregnancy or religion, then they may request an accommodation. And you have to analyze and review, do I have to give this to them? Can I? What does the law say I have to do? But you can also determine if it's any kind of alteration of a safety precaution that might pose an undue hardship. If somebody requests a certain accommodation request, maybe they want to come in and say, I can't get the vaccine, like, I guess I'll just roll the dice. And rolling the dice means they might infect some of your customers or clients. Maybe you work in the healthcare setting with vulnerable population. You can tell that employee they can't come back to work. But it's important to know that you've got people who don't want to return to work and people who do, people who want to telework. And teleworking is interesting because before the pandemic, I saw a lot of cases, a lot of calls and questions from business owners saying that they had an employee who wanted to work remotely because of some disability, because of some religious issue situation, usually disability, right? They hurt their leg or back, or they're not feeling well, they're sick. And a lot of employers said, we can't do that. Like, we need you in the office to do your work. And then when they went remote, a lot of employees got the mistaken assumption that this means that telework is always going to be granted as a reasonable accommodation request, because a lot of your employees are saying, boss, you know, if you did this at the company for almost 2 years, from March 2020 until, let's say, January, February, or March 2022, then why can't you do it going forward? So a lot of employers, that employees mistakenly think, well, since we did work from home, telework, remote working, now we always have to offer it as an accommodation because it's always demonstrated that it can work. And the flaw in that thinking is that as we all change again and go back to in person, there might be a competitive edge that your company loses now. If, let's say, your customers and clients can't come to your office and be seen by a live person, right? Before, level playing field, no one can do that. So, you know, if you were pitching the advertising like a la Mad Men as an ad company, everyone was doing it remotely. But now if your whole team wants to stay remote and you have to pitch things through Zoom while your competition is back in the office, back at live networking events, shaking hands over dinner, you may be at a disadvantage. So you might say, listen, I can't do telework anymore. You know, we shifted our model now. We've had more people back in the office. And so it's too hard, like, to have a staff meeting where half the people are remote and half are in the office. It's just too complicated. So it's not always the case that telework is now always going to be granted. That being said, if your worker was functioning pretty flawlessly for those 2 years and if not much has changed, then you might be hard pressed, you know, get some pushback if you say, hey, that's too hard of an accommodation. Really, you have to, I think, speak with an employment law attorney if that's such an issue. And I recommend not just, don't Google it, you know, don't just write, can I or must I give telework, because you might get outdated articles or an opinion piece, which isn't necessarily the law. So I always tell my people, you know, my clients, like, you know, don't mistake Google for the sound advice of an employment law professional. And it's natural, by the way, to want to Google things. And, you know, I know doctors have told me in the past, don't Google this, you know, it's not the same as what I'm telling you as a doctor. So think about, like, what conditions are you as an employer required to let someone not return to work? And when are you required to accommodate someone and let them stay home from work still? So if an employee, let's say you're in back to work mode, right? Like, you sent out the newsletter, you said, oh, thank God, Delta's now out of the picture and Omicron, like, seems to be fading. The transmission rates are much lower. I'm gonna have everyone back in the office, like, starting March 31st, or let's say April 1st, no fooling, right? You are not required as an employer under the New York City law or the state human rights law. You don't have to provide accommodation. You don't have to let an employee stay home if that employee just has a generalized fear of catching COVID-19, right? So be careful though, because if that fear is a strong fear, if it's part and parcel to a serious anxiety disorder or PTSD related to, let's say, COVID-19, then you might have to allow that person to stay home or give them an accommodation request if you can afford to, if I'm not going to break the bank, hurt you operationally, or drain your resources. So, but generally speaking, you have an employee that says, I'm just still afraid of COVID. And the generalized fear, you don't have to provide that accommodation request. If you see evidence of your employee, on the social media feed, like, hey, we're Facebook friends, and like, I saw you at a concert Friday night with 100 people around you, by surfing the crowd. I saw you at a restaurant on Instagram posting. So are you sure you're afraid to come back? That's like a relevant information you can use with your employees, with your employees. They say they're scared to come back to the office. And of course, if there are risks of complication related to an underlying disability, I think I mentioned this here, right? If an employee disability puts them at risk of complications from COVID-19, then maybe they don't have to have them return to work. We've covered that in the previous slide. So I'm going to go to the next part of the slide here. An employee, again, might be entitled to reasonable accommodation. So maybe they're not part of the return to work bandwagon or not on that bandwagon. If they have a pregnancy or they're planning to get pregnant and they're worried about complications from the COVID-19 vaccine. And again, if you're listening to the show tonight, what are you in that situation? Well, maybe you have that employee come in and you provide them accommodations of masking and personal protective gear and equipment. And you agree to have them, say, come in off hours for most of the main staff and work in a remote location of the office. But maybe it's something else you have to give the person. But returning to work now is such an important aspect. People want to know, what's my rights in terms of masking or, in terms of vaccine mandates. If you have employees that don't want to wear a mask, you still have a right as the employer, right? It's your private business to say, I want people to mask in this company, in this office. There's no constitutional right not to mask. I keep hearing people on the news saying this is violates my constitutional, my civil rights. And really, this is not a constitutional right for a private employer, not to require you to wear a mask. It's just not something that's a relevant argument. Keep in mind as well that, here we go. Keep in mind when you're returning to work that you may have more employees and more workers these days in these COVID times who have issues where they can't come into work at certain times due to the inability to secure childcare, right? It's a very important thing to keep in mind. And the fact that, let me just take a look at my notes here. Important to note, if more employers now, you're not required to necessarily accommodate all employees as parents. Like you can't, if a parent says, hey, my child is not back in school for the entire school year, so I don't want to work remotely, might be a hardship. But you're going to have more and more employees who might need a week off because their child gets COVID-19 and their school requires like a 7-day or 10-day, quarantine period. So the New York City rules might change. I'm the parent of a 2.5-year-old little boy who goes to daycare, my son Nathan. And I know that if he gets COVID-19, he is home for 14 days. And if he's home 14 days, that means that either I or my wife or both are home as well in that time. So you might have employees where they're vaccinated, but their 5-year-old's not. And obviously the 5-year-old can't wash themselves all day. So keep that in mind. And also keep in mind, the issues of discrimination around Zoom. You as an employer, if you have people returning to work and then some working remotely, might be important to schedule certain things with related to Zoom around people's, say, adjustments for their childcare pickup, childcare drop off, right? So this is something to keep in mind when you schedule meetings. And there are laws that protect parents and caregivers' ability to stay home to care for their children if they get the vaccine, they're sick, or if they catch COVID-19. So the point there is, workers and parents, you as an employer should really be on the lookout when you're doing a return to work. We are at our final commercial break. When we come back, I'll cover the COVID-19 Hero Relief Act, what you need to know from a safety perspective. And then I'll take a few minutes to wrap up and talk a little bit about how you can contact me. So stick around. You are listening to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber, from the Law Office, Eric M. Sauber. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
All pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. As I mentioned, I'm also your guest, Eric Sauber. And we're talking about navigating the employment law landscape through these challenging times of COVID-19. And for a quick recap here, we talked about reasonable accommodation requests that your employees might make, and you have the question of what you, as an employer, may be required to give them under the law in terms of changing work schedules or remote work or different duties. We talked about the New York City private employer vaccine mandate and what record keeping you have to do as a responsible employer and requiring proof of status and keeping track of your employees' vaccination. And we talked about the general return to work issues that you face with parents on leave based on their children's illness of COVID-19 or quarantine and so forth. And now I want to take us through something that you need to consider if you have employees who are coming back to a workspace, a workplace. It could be an office, but again, could be there a restaurant, could be something in hospitality, or it could be a healthcare setting. And that is the Hero Relief Act, right? The COVID Relief Hero Act. So I'm going to share my screen again. Let me just see one thing here. Folks, bear with me. Oh, right. Here we go. COVID. Yes. So, taking this to slideshow here. Yes, COVID Relief Act. Okay. So, what's important is in May of 2021, and then in July of 2021, the DOL published standards on the New York Hero Act, was signed into law. And this act, basically, it was implemented and started August 5th, right? The New York deadline by which employers had to adopt an exposure plan. So this, here's the timeline, right? Basically, what this rule is it requires employers to have an infectious airborne disease policy in place. some way that you have a plan as an employer for dealing with like COVID-19, for dealing with this this illness. How do you keep your workers safe? How do you isolate workers who may have been affected? How do you keep it from spreading, right? And then, of course, like having committees that you have to allow employees to form if you're of a certain size entity, where they can form a committee and give feedback about this infectious airborne disease policies. So the New York deadline, right? New York said last summer, August 5th was a deadline that you must provide a plan in writing to your employees, to your workers, in English and their primary language. It could be Spanish, could be Greek, could be whatever the majority of folks might be working. And you had to have 30 days after the adopting the plan, 15 days you had to reopen due to disease or other illness. You had to provide these plans to all employees. So if you missed that deadline, because it's now March 2022, I would talk to your employment law attorney, talk to your HR professionals who might be handling these matters for you. So by September 4th, employers' airborne infectious disease plans must be distributed or had to be distributed to employees, right? So we had August 5th to adopt the plan, or September 4th, rather, right, to distribute the plan. And then November 1st became the new rule that said, hey, if you're a business, your employer, with 10 or more employees, as I mentioned a moment ago, you must allow workers to establish and administer a joint labor management workplace safety committee. So a safety committee had to be in place. And the Act requires these basic safety standards, right? Now, I'm not an infectious airborne disease expert. I'm gathering most people listening tonight are not as well. But they provide certain templates, certain guidelines for the plans, right? And they have certain requirements, like checkboxes that the Department of Labor provided. So employees have to provide, as I mentioned, there's that plan again, right? There's the fact that you have to have certain plans in effect, a model airborne infectious disease exposure plan. There are templates for different industries that the Department of Labor can provide for you. The employer's plan must address safety measures, so employee health screenings, like masking and social distancing requirements, workplace hygiene stations, right? What's your protocol for quarantine if an outbreak occurs? What's the plan there for your employees? So these are just some basic checklists. But again, you can go to the Department of Labor to seek out guidance with these, right? With these New York State, the whole what's required under the COVID HERO Act. I'll skip the committees now for the sake of time, because, and it's actually hyper detailed factually, so I don't want to bore my audience. I want to keep everyone interested and engaged. But keep in mind that like, this, you know, requirement, it's not a suggestion, it's not a mere recommendation, like, it's mandatory. And there can be fines and penalties like, if you as an employer don't have this in place. Now, you also have to review and update your plan and make sure it's current, right? Comports with all the recent guidance on COVID-19. You have to have a training with your employees and have guidance from the CDC and the New York State Department of Health. And I want to say, you know, this may sound like a real bummer, you know, kind of like, oh man, like we have to do all this stuff, such an unfair thing, but actually to protect you down the road from an OSHA suit, from an employee maybe objecting, refusing to come to work, being fired, and then claiming retaliation because they complained about an unsafe workplace, right, to OSHA. It might protect you from, say, employees claim that the workplace was unsafe and they try to sue you for negligence, they catch COVID-19. If you have this health, this plan in place, and it's been approved by the Department of Labor, right, that's a solid defense you might have. Of course, I need to know all the facts and details before I say that. And if you have a specific issue, come to me personally. Don't assume this is like creating legal advice here. But the point is that these plans can be required, but also beneficial to you as an employer. Now, as I mentioned, you know, there's the carrot, the stick, and everything, right? And the stick part of this is daily penalties can be $50 a day and violations up to $10,000 for failure to abide by the requirements of this HERO Act. So there's also an anti-retaliation clause. It says there can be penalties for if you fire an employee, let's say, for objecting to you or not having a plan in place. So I see that I'm getting near the end of my time here with all of you tonight. And what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about what are the takeaways here, right? What are the main takeaways for you as an employer? I'm going to skip paid leave law because we don't have really the time to cover all of those. But the real takeaway I'll just say is that, here we go, best practices. Make sure you follow or exceed industry standards for hygiene and safety and health, number one. Number two, make sure you follow and exceed local, state, and federal prevention guidelines, right? And then OSHA, and implement the certain practices in place for social distancing, and develop and execute like plans for monitoring health and well-being of employees. If you, as an employer, keep these items in place, if you have workplace protocol, if you have understanding of what the law requires for vaccines, for vaccine mandates, for record keeping, for accommodations, it's a leg up, it's an advantage, because you know if that issue comes up, that you need to reach out to your employment lawyer or your HR expert who's consulting with you. So you know not to just sort of go shoot from the hip and say, I think I can fire this person because they keep making all this noise about this issue of the safety plan for COVID-19. So folks, I'm Eric Sauber. Again, I'm an employment law and business law attorney. I'm going to stop my screen share right here just to share a little bit kind of more from the heart to say that it's a privilege and a thrill. I really enjoy hosting this show every week. So tune in next week when I'll have another live guest back in the studio with me, back on Zoom, I should say, Ms. Patrice Tanaka. We'll talk about, she's from Joyful Planet, and we're going to talk about finding your purpose as an employer and motivating your employees to seek and find their purpose, a purpose-driven mission to maximize your company's well-being. You can always reach me at www.sauver-law.com, sauver-law.com. You can also find me at 917-930-8684. Reach out to me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. in the comments. Folks, have a wonderful evening. Be safe, be healthy, be informed, and I'll see you all on Talk Radio NYC next Tuesday, 5 p.m., right here on the station. Thank you.
Business owner. Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.